I've asked Todd Phillips from techflash.com to come on and analyze it for us. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I have not held one of these in my hands yet and don't know that I will even after it gets introduced in a couple of months. Have you been able to test drive one?
I have not yet, no, though, but I've spent a lot of time watching the stream on Apple, and of course on Tech Flash we cover this stuff pretty intimately, so have a pretty good feel for what's happening.
All right, before we break down what works and what doesn't work, explain to my listeners what's different about the iPad. To me, it looks like you took a laptop, tore off the monitor, and used that.
Well, in some ways, actually, it's interesting to think about it from the different direction, and that is as a larger iPod Touch. So many people out there are probably familiar with the iPod Touch, which in simple terms is like an iPhone without the phone. And so what Apple has done is taken that iPod Touch and made it big. And essentially it's a screen that's about 10 inches diagonal, touch screen. And here's the key. It runs the apps that can also run on the iPhone and the iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
So that entire software ecosystem, if you will, is able to essentially be extended to this new type of device.
Okay, so now you have a much larger iTouch with that same multi-touch screen, which Apple calls it. I already have a phone that I replaced with the iPhone. I have an iPod that I replaced with the iPhone. I had a digital camera. I replaced that with the iPhone. Had a flip camera for video. I replaced that with the iPhone. And on and on and on. What does the iPad replace? What makes it so important?
Well, that's a great question. And what Apple is essentially trying to do here is create a new category of device, something in between that phone that you're carrying around and that notebook computer that you might be carrying around as well. And, you know, there's a real question here as to whether or not this is a legitimate category. And it's actually going to be a sort of a fascinating drama that's going to play out over the next 6 months or a year to see if people like you, average consumers, people like me, are actually going to go out and buy this thing. And it's really a great question. In his presentations yesterday, Apple CEO Steve Jobs really positioned this as the type of thing that you would use on your couch. You're sitting there playing games, browsing the internet, downloading books, key application and a potential rival to Amazon's Kindle. So this is something that really is positioned in between those two existing categories and a new category in Apple's mind.
All right, let's talk about the books for a second. During his presentation yesterday, Jobs said that Amazon had done a great job developing the Kindle and that Apple was now standing on their shoulders to present the iPad and the iBooks part of the iPad. Explain to me how that could revolutionize publishing, if you think it can.
I think the jury is still out on the R word. I don't think you can in any way yet call the iPad a revolution. But specifically to talk about the books, Apple is positioning this as a multi-purpose device, but also something that can really narrow in and let you just sit there and browse books. It's launching a new app called the iBook, which will let you read books, and a related store called the iBook Store that will let you download the books and buy them. And in that way, it is a real challenge to Amazon, and something that, you know, if Apple can gain momentum, could really chip away at the lead that the Kindle has in the market.
Doesn't Amazon and the Kindle have the same sort of thing where you can download books right into the Kindle? I thought that was the whole idea.
Well, it is the whole idea. And in fact, the other interesting thing is not only can you download books directly into the Kindle, but you can download Amazon books into the Kindle app on the iPhone, which means you'll be able to download those same books from Amazon onto the iPad. I followed all that. But essentially, you've got this really interesting, you know, intersection of competition and partnership. So in other words, Amazon could be in a position in some ways to benefit from the iPad. But really, since Apple has come out with its own books application on the iPad, in that way, this new device is a threat to Jeff Bezos.
I'll tell you one place where I see this having great potential. My daughter, 15 years old, high school sophomore, goes to and from school every day with a backpack that is so heavy, she has to lug all of her textbooks back and forth. Now, a couple of her classes, she can access that stuff online on our laptop at home that she uses when she's doing her homework, and so she doesn't have to take the book back and forth. But other classes and other curricula haven't gotten that far. I would love to see a day very, very soon where all she has to have is something like the iPad, and she can download the textbooks into that and access them, and now she's carrying around something that weighs a pound and a half instead of 50 pounds every day.
It's a great scenario. And, of course, the other scenario is potentially business travelers or just travelers in general. My wife, Amy, and I just went on a trip to Las Vegas, for example, and I did not want to take a notebook computer, and I took my iPhone instead. Imagine if instead I was able to take something like this, the iPad, and essentially have that large browsing experience without lugging some big notebook computer around with me.
What impact do you think it will have on other printed material? I know that newspapers and magazines are looking for ways to reverse the huge slide that they've had in readership, at least in their hard print versions. They're getting readership online, but haven't been able to monetize that yet. Can the iPad help them?
Possibly. And interestingly, one of the apps that you saw displayed yesterday was from the New York Times. And in a lot of ways, it's potentially a new market for printed publications, and you'll see magazines and other types of publications on the iPad. The interesting thing is, in that way, it's combining the two worlds. One interesting feature in that New York Times app for the iPad was the ability within this newspaper interface on the device to play video, which is pretty fascinating because at that point it becomes really like an interactive newspaper, not like browsing something on the screen, you know, about 3 feet away from you or 4 feet, but holding something in your lap, like you would a traditional newspaper, but having all those advanced features and multimedia that you normally associate with the internet.
So is the idea that there are still going to be free newspaper websites, now you're just going to read them on the iPad, or is Apple talking to these content providers about turning them into revenue sources, charging, for instance, 99 cents if you want to read today's Courier Journal or other newspaper?
Right. That is an open question. And of course, the New York Times recently announced plans to start charging after a certain amount of reading is reached by people on their website. They did not get into the economic models yesterday, but you could certainly see the iPad enabling a scenario like that where small payments helped boost the revenue streams of these publications and potentially helped keep them in business.
Now, I know that the music industry was thrilled at first to start being able to sell their products through iTunes as opposed to the Napster model where they were just having people rip it off. But now I understand the music industry is not happy because Steve Jobs is insisting they keep the price so low at 99 cents or even $1.29 in some cases for some of these songs. Do you expect publishers to have similar problems, or will they embrace the iPad?
You know, it's a delicate balance. I think they have to embrace it just like they had to embrace the Kindle and go along with it. And their hope in the long run is that this expands the market of readers and doesn't cannibalize the people who are reading traditional books. I think their hand is essentially being forced by the progress of technology here, and they have to go along with it. And they're just hoping that it turns out okay in the end.
Tell me things about the iPad that you've seen but you think are bad ideas, or that you don't like, or something that's missing.
Yeah, absolutely. I had envisioned this device potentially running Mac OS X applications. In other words, a software developer writes a program for a MacBook Pro, and it can also run on the iPad. From what we've seen, that is not the case. And it's actually, I think, a fascinating difference, because what Apple is doing is they're essentially extending the software development model for mobile phones to this sort of in-between device, as opposed to something like Microsoft did, where they tried to take the Windows development model and apply it to the tablet PC, which failed. If I were to envision my perfect iPad, it would be able to run both iPhone apps and Mac OS X apps and really combine those two worlds. And frankly, that probably would be the tipping point that would make me buy it personally.
What else is missing in there? I was surprised there's no video camera. I thought that something of this size would have been perfect for, video chat.
Absolutely. The camera seems to be a real big oversight, although apparently Apple has its reasons for leaving that out. That is a big one that many people will look at and wish was there.
You know, I remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, 1969 movie, Stanley Kubrick. One of the things that they had in there was these astronauts who were on their way to, what was it, Jupiter in the year 2001. Ooh, it was way off in the future. and they had something that looks exactly like the iPad right in front of them, and they were able to do chat or watch video or that sort of thing. This is once again reality following what was developed in science fiction, just as the Star Trek communicator became the phone that we all carry in our pocket now. Now we're seeing the iPad catching up with that 1969 science fiction technology. But one thing that I didn't like in the movie and that I don't like now about the iPad is there's no way to prop it up. You put it down on your desktop and it lays there flat. I don't know about you, when I'm reading, I don't want to have to lean over and look straight down on something. I like having it propped up a little bit. Well, why didn't they put little tabs on the bottom, little feet on the bottom, so that it props up?
Well, because they want to be able to sell you the keyboard accessory. I don't know if you saw that, but
no.
there's an accessory that you can essentially put the iPad into that does prop it up and gives you a physical keyboard at the bottom. So that's probably the reason.
But still, the iPad itself won't be propped up. It'll still lie flat, which is going to be very weird for viewing.
It is. The idea, as they envision it at least, is to hold it in your lap.
Yeah.
And not necessarily to use this for something like you would use a computer for. So I think their hope is that someone such as yourself would be enticed to add to your portfolio of iPhones and MacBooks, to basically still stick with your notebook computer.
Okay, let's explain the pricing of this, because Apple is promoting the fact that it's only $499, which I guess if you're thinking of it as a computer and not just a big iTouch or iPhone, $499, a starting price point that eventually may come down. But that's really for the stripped-down model, right?
It is. That is for the 16-gigabyte model with just Wi-Fi and no 3G roaming wireless connection. Now, what happens is you get larger. For example, the 32 gigabyte goes up $100, and then the 64 gigabyte goes up another $100. And then when you add 3G wireless capabilities to that, it's another $130 on each of those categories. And if you do add the 3G, then you need to get a $30 a month service plan from AT&T. So if you're just completely enamored with this thing and want to get the just top of the line model, you're going to be spending more than $800 on the device plus a monthly service plan.
Are you surprised that they made a deal with AT&T rather than making it open to all of the providers?
You know, just as someone who struggles with the AT&T connection on my own iPhone, I don't know that I'm surprised, but as a user, I was a little disappointed. I would have been perhaps more encouraged had they gone with a network with a better record of reliability.
Yeah, and I know there are people who are upset because they wanted it to be open so that they could use whatever phone company they wanted to use. But more and more companies are saying, you know, look, we'll help underwrite this. And I bet part of the AT&T deal here is, even though you don't have to get a contract with AT&T as you do with the iPhone, you just pay for your monthly service. I bet there's some subsidy coming in from AT&T to help keep the price of this down a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know if that's the case or not, but clearly that is the model in the industry that's one of the models in the industry that's established. And, of course, you've seen Google challenge that a bit with its Nexus One phone, which is sold directly from Google and does not, come and bring into play those subsidies.
Todd, how much does the iPad crush the Kindle?
Oh boy, you're putting me on the spot, Paul. I would say that something I'm not convinced that it does yet. I'm really not. I don't know that there's a true market for this niche that Apple sees between the smartphone and the notebook. I'm not yet convinced. And it's worth noting that yes, we've had the iPod as a success and the iPhone as a success and Mac has been a success in its own way. But, Apple has had some flops over the years. Apple TV is one that comes to mind. For the halo effect that's around Steve Jobs, at the same time, you know, there's no guarantee of success here. And in that way, I don't necessarily think that this is a Kindle killer.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a Kindle killer either. I'm not sure the Kindle is, you know, huge in its own way. I just think that, you know, when you make the smartphone like the iPhone, you give people something that they can carry around in their pocket. I don't know that I'm going to be walking around in my regular daily life with an iPad. And if I'm not going to be using it every day, I'm probably not going to buy a $500, $600, $700, $800 item.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing you have to take into account is the economy right now. This is going to be coming out over the next year at a time when people are, you know, really looking for ways to cut back on their technology spending, you know, looking for workarounds to, you know, cut down their cable bills. And here you have a device that, if you go for the high end, is pretty expensive.
Yep.
And frankly, you know, twice as expensive as some of those small netbook computers. So, you know, there's a real open question here as to whether this is going to take hold.
You know, like I said at the beginning, I'm not sure what this replaces in the repertoire of high-tech devices that a lot of people already own. Todd, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Todd Bishop from TechFlash.com here with Paul Harris on 84 WHAS.